Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today I want you to consider the question, are you on the downhill slope? Are you on the downhill slope, riding off into the sunset, slowly but surely? Or do you want to fall off the cliff? The choice is yours. Somebody suggested to me that I read the book Younger Next Year. And they have a version for women, technically called Younger Next Year for Women. The other one is more, well, it's not necessarily geared towards men, but it doesn't talk about some things that are specific to women and aging that are addressed in this second book. And it is written by Chris Crowley and Henry S. Lodge, MD. So the premise of the book is super great. I loved listening to it in the audio format. Chris Crowley was in his 70s and he went to see Dr. Henry Lodge, who's an internist. And he was talking about the aging process, problems he was having, aches and pains. And Dr. Lodge said, it doesn't have to be this way. Every cell in your body is either growing or dying. And that's where this notion of you can go into a slow decline or fall off a cliff. And I was listening to the audiobook and I was like, wait a minute, what? And I had to rewind it because I wasn't sure that I understood what they just said. And then it was like, wait, I don't even understand what that means. And what that means is, do you want to sit down in your easy chair of whatever kind you have? Mine's actually a Lazy Boy recliner. Do you want to sit down in your chair and just wait for death? Or do you want to live life to its fullest until you fall off a cliff and die? Like, quickly, easily, without all the drama. And I will speak to this from the point of view of my mom. She would say, in jest, mind you, I have just taken care of everybody my whole life. I just would really like to just be on total life support. It was a joke. She just was tired of taking care of everyone. She had been married for 50 years. Well, not quite at that point. Raised four kids, had grandkids that she helped with some and, you know, loved hanging out with. But she would say that all the time. Words have power, people. Words have a lot of power. And at 62 years old, she suffered a massive stroke and lived 11 years to the week. I really should get out a calendar and get the exact dates, but 11 years to the week. And anytime she was left alone, something bad happened. There was just enough cognitive impairment that my dad initially, when she came home from the hospital, would say, I'm going to run to the grocery store. Can you sit there and not move? And he'd have her all set up with the TV, go on the remote, the whole bit. And she'd go, yeah, I'm going to stay right here. And he would come home and she'd be on the floor. And he'd say, Phyllis, you said you were going to stay in your chair. Oh, I forgot. And it was like she forgot she had a stroke and was completely paralyzed on the left side. And getting up and walking was a struggle. She could, but it was a struggle. And it wasn't just pop up and go do the thing. So my mom lived 11 years. The last four, my dad battled kidney cancer. And kidney cancer is terminal. They, you know, once it has spread, they can't stop it. I believe if they get the tumor early before it has metastasized anywhere, I think you can have a longevity with it. But his had already spread a little bit when we found it. And chemo, and then surgery to remove it, and then more chemo. And for the most part, I'm going to say of the 4 years that he lived after that, he was pretty good for the most part, and took care of my mom really, really well again. And they died 12 days apart. And people make comments like, oh, they loved each other so much they couldn't live apart. And, oh, your mom died of a broken heart. A little bit of that is all true. However, I believe that my mom hung on as long as she possibly could because she didn't want to leave my dad. And I believe my dad hung on as long as he could because he didn't want to leave my mom. And as it turns out, my mom had oral cancer. We did not know this. She had had all of her teeth pulled and dentures. And once you do that, you don't go back to the dentist regularly. She went to the doctor, and the doctor at the hospice center and I had a little bit of a headbutt because he said, oh my gosh, your mom's eaten up with oral cancer. This has spread to her brain through all of her bones. Like, I can just tell looking in her mouth how far this has gone. And he said, have you not gotten her to a doctor? And I went, are you kidding me? She went to the doctor regularly. But when do you go to the doctor and they say, lift your tongue? That's a dentist's office. So we didn't know. And once my father succumbed to cancer and passed away, then 12 days later, my mom passed away. And it was heartbreaking. It was absolutely heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. And you never, when you have, especially when you have great parents, which I did, you just never quit missing them. Like, it's like nonstop. You're always missing them. But they had choices before they got to that point. Now, they think a lot of my dad's kidney cancer can be caused from massive doses of anti-inflammatories. And he was in the Air Force and he tore up his knee and was on massive anti-inflammatories for years until, you know, every time he would have surgery, whatever. They think there's a link there. And my mom, even though she did smoke, she was hit in the neck with a baseball bat when she was 12. The only blocked artery in her whole body was in her neck. And it was on the side of the neck where the stroke actually happened. So she had had an issue the year before where she smoked a cigarette down until it burnt her finger, like bad. Like, she didn't even know her finger was being burnt until she smelled the flesh. How disgusting is that? Sorry. I hope you're not having breakfast. And she went to the doctor and she said, my fingers are numb on my left hand. Like, what's this about? And the doctor was like, oh, gee, I don't know. And they didn't do any tests. They didn't look into anything. She was 61 years old. There's no reason to suspect anything is amiss. Well, when she suffered a stroke a year later, they said, oh, it appears she had a stroke about a year ago. Here's the proof of that. The evidence is showing on her brain. And my dad said, oh, about a year ago, she burnt her finger with a cigarette. We moved into a new house and she was so tired. She went to bed for a couple days. She was just tired. And he said, yeah, it was probably her brain and her body recovering from this stroke. But I still come back to the idea of, I want to be on total life support. That she said in jest. The universe doesn't understand jokes. It doesn't understand jokes. So if she could do it again, because my mom was a wonderful woman and my dad was a wonderful man and took great care of my mom. But if you back it all the way up, if somebody had told her that by saying that she was going to set up circumstances to have it come true, she would have quit saying it. I guarantee she would have quit saying it. I'm going to speak for her now. I usually don't, but I'm going to speak for her and say she wouldn't have done it. So the question becomes, do you want to be on the slow downhill slope? Or do you want to fall off the cliff? I think in some ways now at my age, I'm actually more active, more social, and I use my brain more now than I did 10 or 15, 20 years ago. I got into a point in life where it was a bit of a rut. And every now and then some new project would come along at work that would excite me for a little while. And then, you know, routine would set in. And now I'm like in one of the greatest seasons I've ever been in. At this point, I've had both my knees replaced. I have finally, and that's a capital, all capital letters, finally recovered from the second one. It was a little slower than the first. And I'm doing things. I'm traveling a lot. I have a couple of friends that I know that travel full time. I'm not one of those people, but I travel a lot. I have that flexibility and I'm able to. And when my husband and I go on vacations and we see people with walkers and scooters and wheelchairs and oxygen tanks, I say, I want to do this now while we can. I want to do this now while we can enjoy it, while we can physically get around. I had several trips where it was hard on everybody around me because my knees were so bad. I was just miserable. And I'm sure they thought at the time she should have stayed home. Like she should have just stayed home. But we have the choice to decide. And in this book, Younger Next Year, I'm going to keep coming back to it. Dr. Lodge talks about how if you increase your physical activity and add more healthy foods to your diet, don't smoke, drink less, you can literally change the physical dynamic of your body in a year. And next year, your body will be younger. Physiologically, you'll be younger. So the question is, what do you want to be? How do you want to show up? I have a friend, and when we first met and we first shared a hotel room, who now I travel with her all the time. And when we got there, something was said about the thermostat. And she said, I don't complain about the temperature or the traffic. And I was like, well, that was random. What's that about? And she said, well, I get around old people and they complain about how cold it is. And they're always adjusting the thermostat. It's so cold in here. And everybody else is sweating to death. And they're like, oh, it's cold in here. And she said, so I don't ever want to be the one complaining about the temperature of the room. I think she's really sorry about that because I like the room colder than she does, but she just puts on a sweater because she doesn't complain about the temperature. And about the traffic, she said, man, you know, I'm from Southern California. I'm there all the time visiting my family. And people are always saying, oh my gosh, the traffic is so bad. And oh, there's construction. Oh. And I was like, oh my gosh, people do that. You're right. They do. And I'm going to add to that now is everybody complains about the price of things. Oh my gosh, it's so expensive. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And if you notice, a lot of that's the older people. A lot of us older people. I had someone tell me recently, my children will never be able to buy a house, ever. And the next week I hear of somebody else's kids, as in grown people, just their children, had just bought a house. So is it true? What's really true? What's true in your mind? As you know, or maybe you don't know, so I'll share it here, but I do energy healings, energy clearing. Everything is energy. Everything is made up of energy. And if we can raise our vibration, if we can raise our energy, if we can be more excited about things and find the positive in it, the better we're going to be overall. Our overall health will be better. So you have the opportunity to decide today, right now, do you want to be younger next year or do you want to go down that slope? What do you want to do? When I go on cruises, I don't necessarily love, love, love cruises. However, all my friends and family do, and they're business cruises. So, I end up cruising a bit. And one of the things I do on the cruise, I've got a couple of hard and fast rules. One, I have a salad every night with dinner. I am not a big salad eater, but when somebody else is going to wash the lettuce and put it together and set it in front of me, I will eat it. Why don't I do that for myself? I don't know. I'm not taking my own advice to be younger next year. But when I'm on a cruise, I order a salad every time. Every single dinner, I have salad. The second thing is my brother-in-law and I came up with this years ago. And that is if we're eating any kind of sweet treat dessert thing, we will have one bite. One bite. If it's not delicious, we just put our fork down. We're like out on that. One bite and that's it. There's no point in wasting calories when there are 47,000 calories coming at you every day on a cruise ship to eat something that you don't love. The food is already there. It's already prepared. It's going to be thrown out if it's not eaten anyway. So don't feel guilty and bad. Just either enjoy it or don't eat it and get something else. So those are my big things on travel is only eat the things you enjoy. I'm getting ready to go on a cruise as I record this episode. And I'm going on a group dinner one night, a paid dinner on the ship. They have specialty restaurants that you pay extra for. Typically always worth it. I don't complain about that at all. But they picked the Asian restaurant, and I hate Asian food for the most part. I don't eat onions. I don't eat mushrooms. I don't eat asparagus. I don't eat seafood or shellfish. So, yeah, that reduces my number. They have a beautiful filet on there, but all the rest of the stuff about that filet sounds terrible for me. So I've already made the decision before I ever step on the ship. I'm going to go to that restaurant. I am going to ask for the manager, maitre d' of that restaurant, and I'm going to ask them if they'll go to the steakhouse and if I can just order a regular steak and baked potato and salad from the steakhouse. I'm sure they're going to say yes. Everybody on the group dinner wants to go to this Asian place. I'm not going to be the one to complain and ruin it. I don't want to be that crotchety old fart. I don't. I get teased about complaining and whining. The other night, somebody goes, do you like wine? And I said, oh, no, not at all. And then we're like, really? Because I figured you needed some cheese to go with that wine. I just told a story about something that happened. I wasn't complaining about it. But that's different, right? It's different when you're finding the negative in everything around you. You lower your immunity. Your resilience is reduced. Your health is diminished. Your mental health for sure is jacked up. So you have the choice. Do you want to be younger next year? What are three things you could do to enhance your life to be better this time next year? What can it be? You know, I'm the 12-minute success coach. Are you going to start walking for 12 minutes a day? Ride an exercise bike for 12 minutes a day, something to move more than you are right now? Are you going to be like me and every time you go on vacation where meals are included, have a salad every night? Are you going to start keeping a gratitude journal? In one of Oprah's books that she just wrote in the 2020s, I don't know exactly what year it was published, but in this book, she makes the comment that for 10 years, she wrote down every night three things she was grateful for. And over that 10-year period, her personal life, her physical health, and her relationships and her business skyrocketed. Skyrocketed. Being grateful changes something in you. And it changes from the inside out. So I ask the question one last time as I wrap up this episode. Are you on the downhill slope? Or do you want to fall off the cliff? I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success. And I would love to help you come up with the answer to that and your next steps. Book a call with me, yoursuccesscall.com. I'd love to hear from you. taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.